In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. With these words that we heard moments ago from John chapter 6, Jesus summarizes what all of Holy Scripture teaches. That he, our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came down from heaven, that by his holy and precious blood, he won the life that cannot be overcome by death, forgiveness for every single sinner in the world, righteousness that is truly divine, a righteousness, a forgiveness, a life that no human being could ever hope to win for himself, but is granted freely by our Lord Jesus, by grace alone, apart from works of the law, granted to everyone who believes in him. Through this faith, we are united with Christ, so that with the Apostle Paul we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. And the inheritance that belongs to Christ as the Son of God, we are blessed to share and enjoy by that same grace. Now, in the same passage from John chapter 6, Jesus goes on to say, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Yes, our Lord Jesus gave himself for the life of the world when he died. His body was hanged on the cross. His blood was shed, that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But having been crucified, having risen indeed, having ascended and being seated at the Father's right hand, he still gives himself to the world, that we who dwell in the world may have life and have it abundantly. He gives himself to us as he gives us his flesh, saying, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. What does it mean to feed on Jesus' flesh? What does it mean to drink on his blood? It means two things, in fact. For there are two kinds of eating and drinking Jesus' flesh and blood, as taught in Holy Scripture. Here in our passage before us, John chapter 6, Jesus describes spiritual eating and drinking. The spiritual eating of his flesh. And this happens in no other way than by the Holy Spirit and faith. We spiritually feed on Jesus' flesh and drink his blood when in faith we hear and meditate on the preaching of the gospel, when we read and hear God's holy word, and certainly when we eat and drink the Lord's Supper. And that is the other kind of eating and drinking, which we'll talk about in a moment. Now, this spiritual eating and drinking of faith is necessary. It's necessary for all Christians at all times. And in fact, without this spiritual eating and drinking, the other kind of eating and drinking, that is oral or physical, sacramental, as we do in the Lord's Supper, that is not only unhelpful, but it's even harmful, as we heard a little bit last week. It is harmful because all who eat and drink the consecrated bread and wine eat and drink Jesus' true, essential body and blood as he himself has declared it. At the table during the supper, Jesus offers his disciples real bread, real wine, which is his true body and true blood. And so the Apostle Paul warns, as we also heard today, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And he clarifies, whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so anyone who would dare to eat the body and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper, under the bread and wine, without spiritually eating in faith, well, they are eating Jesus' body and blood, yes, but it is to their harm, not to their blessing. And so we are warned in the Catechism that anyone who doubts or disbelieves Christ's word, well, the supper of his body and blood is received for their judgment, for their condemnation. This harm comes upon those who reject the plain word of Jesus, who do not believe that it is his body and his blood, as he said. This happens to those who continue in their sins without repentance, without any sorrow over their sin or intention to live a better life. This happens to those who come to the Lord's Supper without true faith in Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins, life and salvation apart from their works. Yes, it is most necessary that when we eat the bread and drink the wine that is Jesus' body and blood, orally or physically, sacramentally, that we also do so spiritually, that is, in faith, trusting in Christ. And when we do this, when we spiritually eat his flesh and drink his blood through faith, well, then that physical, sacramental, oral eating and drinking of the body and blood of Jesus becomes to our greatest blessing. It is for our highest good. When we eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ in faith, and so eat his body and drink his blood in the Lord's Supper, we may be certain that our sins are forgiven, and that Christ dwells in us and is at work in us. As the Apostle Paul writes, the cup of blessing that we bless is a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is a participation in his body. When we receive his body and blood in faith, we abide in him and he in us. We have the certain promise of life through him. But not only do we abide in Christ, we also abide in one another. In partaking of the one bread, we become one body with the others who eat and drink with us at the Lord's table. And that's why it is most necessary that we share the same confession of faith as those with whom we commune. And to all, even to those who do not come to the altar with us, we proclaim the Lord's death in our eating and drinking until he comes again in glory on the last day. As we ponder these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel of John, and the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recorded in 1 Corinthians, we are led to question, as Martin Luther did, who receives this sacrament worthily? That is, how can I be sure that I am going to receive this sacrament for my good and not for my harm? How can I be certain that when I eat and drink the bread that is Jesus' body and drink the wine that is his blood, I am doing so while spiritually eating and drinking his flesh and blood in faith? We remember how Martin Luther answered this question in the Catechism. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, but that person is truly worthy and well-prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. But anyone who does not believe these words or doubts them is unworthy and unprepared, for the words for you require all hearts to believe. We started out our Lenten midweeks by considering the first question regarding the sacrament of the altar in the Catechism: what is the Lord's Supper? And in that first question, we are reminded that Christ intends his Christians to eat and drink this supper. The Holy Communion was established by our Lord Jesus for his disciples, and not just those who sat with table with him on the night of his betrayal, but for all his disciples, including you. For as Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Jesus wills for you to receive his body and blood under the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. He meant it when he said, do this. And that's why the church, even from the time of Christ's ascension, has done this often, even every Lord's Day, Sunday, and even more than that as well. That's why for the Christian church throughout the ages, the breaking of the bread, that is the Lord's Supper, was counted among the most essential matters that the congregation must observe in order to be strengthened and preserved in the one true faith. Now, of course, no one is worthy in himself to receive this sacrament. Nobody deserves to eat or drink of it in himself. But true worthiness or unworthiness, then, is found in the faith, or the lack thereof, in which one would approach the supper. If we are to be worthy, if we are to be well prepared, if we are to be proper guests of our Lord at his table, then we must examine ourselves. We must judge ourselves, as the Apostle Paul writes. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Fasting and bodily preparation are good. They are helpful ways to prepare. They're fine, like Luther says. But true worthiness comes from faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And therefore, our self-examination, our self-judgment, must center on faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It must center on the question, do I need forgiveness? Am I a sinner? It must center on the question, who is it that promises forgiveness of sins through his body and blood? Is he really the Lord? How is it that he gave his body and blood? Did he die and rise again for me, for my salvation? What is he saying in these words? Is it really his body and blood for the forgiveness of my sins? Or is it a symbol? Is it a representation? Now, as you know, or hopefully know, these questions have been asked by Martin Luther again in the Catechism, towards the end of the Catechism, a section titled Christian Questions with Their Answers. And it is proper that every one of us, every Christian, not just our new catechumens, but all of us, make use of questions like these, or perhaps these questions themselves, and so be deliberate in our preparation to receive the Lord's Supper. Be thoughtful. Be considerate. For we do wish to receive the Lord's Supper rightly. We do wish to receive the Lord's Supper for our good, not for our harm. We do take our Lord's words seriously. For in the end, these questions before us and the final question in the Catechism regarding worthiness is not there to scare us away from the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus certainly doesn't want us to flee from his table, but rather they are meant to move us, to prepare ourselves rightly, that we might receive the Lord's Supper in the way Jesus intends, in repentance, confessing our sins, trusting in Christ and his word, and then eating and drinking the bread and the cup that is his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, life and salvation. This is God's will, that we gather together, that we feast on what he has for us, that we receive these gifts in faith for our highest good. And as Jesus has promised, so will it be. He will raise us up on the last day in our bodies, bodies that will be transformed to be like his glorious body, imperishable and immortal, forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.